So it is now 10:14, and we will call to order the Tarrant County 911 Emergency Assistance District Board of Managers Special Meeting for November the 13th. And we'll move to item number two. Actually, let's back up. Let's insert on number two, roll call.
Aubrey Insko.
Present.
Rick Brunson.
Present.
Robert Aldrich.
Here.
Robert Brooks. Sam Hall.
Here.
Jonathan Ingalls. Ray Richardson.
Here.
Valerie Washington.
Here.
Wayne Nelson.
Okay, so let's move to now item number three, approval of the general contractor.
So item number two, we're selecting the general contractor through our CMAR contractor manager risk process for the build out of the district's new facility. And Chris Hoddy is going to do a presentation for us. Chris?
Thank you.
Good morning, all.
Good morning.
I had no idea after the technology that I would have the easiest job in the room. Let's see here. All right.
Yeah.
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 Here we go.
The people.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Okay.
You spoke to me.
Here we go. Share screen.
Share screen.
Just before we get started, can everybody see the presentation all right, both in the room and remotely? I'll take that as a yes. Okay.
Yes. Well,
good morning. My name is Chris Hoddy. I'm the program manager for the Willow Springs project. And what we'd like to do this morning is go over the recommendation for the contractor that we for CMAR there at Willow Springs. So before we begin, I think it's important just to talk about the process that we went through to actually make this selection. So the selection committee publicly issued an RFQ request for qualification in early October. That was done with the heavy cooperation of tribal architects, both Shannon and Eric, and then Neil led that effort inside the district. We received the responses on the 31st of October. And after detailed review over the course of the week, we shortlisted two different respondents and then elected to have in-person interviews with them. So when they came in, we asked them to not only bring their, the team, but also their leadership. So we really had a good chance to see who they were as contractors. Both the respondents had really a great track record. They're both quality contractors for certain. They were both strong in their experience. They had strong financials, excellent safety records, strong quality and quality processes, impressive references. Every one of the references were sterling. Okay, so these were both two really great contractors. However, during the interview process, there began to be some differentiators that emerged and that really influenced the selection of the contractor. So what I'd like to do is review those with you, and in conclusion to that particular slide, we did decide that Franson and Pittman would be the entity that we would move forward with in terms of our recommendation here.
Can we just point out that the people on Zoom can also see when we transfer. Sometimes it freezes up. So when
I got you.
Can everybody on Zoom see on their screen the slide that says transparency?
I can.
Good.
Yes.
You're good.
I'd also just real quick like to add that we had Wayne's office helping us out greatly through this. We appreciate it, Wayne, and your team, because you had several people there that were helping us from a legal standpoint with some of the different attachments, the documents, the contracts, and all of that. So we've absolutely had legal involved through this whole process.
So one of the standout things for us was that they seemed to really have a cultural ethos that ran through everything they did. regarding transparency. And I felt like that was particularly important when the district would be handling public funds. So we wanted to be able to have open access. We wanted to know where we were standing on budget the whole time. And so it wasn't just them saying that too. They actually demonstrated to us in terms of the technologies and tools that they have that, you know, that we would be able to have access to all of the information at any time of our choosing. So we were really pleased with that. And, you know, beyond that, just, you know, I think that they just really had the infrastructure. It was a constant theme throughout their presentation, and we just really appreciated it. From an experience point of view, the other thing that stood out for us is that, to begin with, you all know that we shifted gears on the kind of contracting that we were choosing to do. We moved to a CMAR, or Construction Manager at Risk, model. And the reason for doing that is that there's a a guaranteed maximum price. And if that is exceeded, the contractor needs to make that up, okay? So what that provides is a very, very strong incentive and motivation for them to stay on time and on budget. But comparing both teams, we also felt that the actual team that we would be interfacing with every day, just edged out in terms of experience, and also just culturally, they seemed like a better fit for the district in terms of their ethos and values. And then finally, and most important, they have never missed a negotiated schedule, meaning a negotiated schedule with the client owner. And we will have at some point in time a date certain that this building must be left, and we also have a tight time frame for the beginning of February to have the data center up and running, because as we all know, you know, failure is really not an option when it comes to that data center. That technology has to be soaked, and we have to know that it is going to be 100% reliable and deployable. From a cost modeling perspective, Branson and Pittman was a little bit different, and I found out that not only against, you know, the other respondent, but just from an industry perspective, and that what they do is they offer a low, medium, and high line item. For every single line item that's part of the project, they basically offer grades, you know, which is often accompanied by price, right, for each choice. That gives a lot of flexibility to the district, because now they're able to say, well, maybe we'd like to, this is not that important, but we'd like to redirect those funds to another category. We'd really like to have the best, you know, line item in this particular category. And historically, their cost modeling is within 1% of their guaranteed maximum price. So on a project of, you know, $10.7 million, that's going to be a pretty strong metric. And we felt like that this track record was really evidence that they were very capable during the pre-construction process taking the plans and turning those into living budgets. You start that, and then they also have a process of continuous refinement throughout the project, because we can have the entrance of, you know, cost, materials could change in cost, scheduling could change, things like that. So they definitely, and new alternatives could be produced. From a technology perspective, just as an ordinary course of business, technology is really a strong threat, we felt, inside of Franson and Pittman. There's kind of two areas. One would be sort of the administrative side of technology. This is stuff like project management, continuous cost estimating, the scheduling, document control, which tracks what happens with all the plans and all the documentation. And that's kind of from cradle to realization of the end result, so that you can see what the revisions are all along the way. There's construction process recording with some great remote tools where you can actually see pictures. You know, you don't have to be on site. You can go and actually see what work was completed on a given day, which is fantastic. And then they also had construction aid technology, so technology that actually helped them build out the building. Now, there are many, but just a couple that I think are interesting are LIDAR, which is light detection and ranging. So they basically do a walkthrough with the building, and this, you know, it pulses out laser light, and it measures. It takes millions of measurements inside of the building. And what that allows is that now I know where the bottom of every joist is, I know what spacing there is, I know what sort of holes there are in between that, and why that's important is that that allows you to avoid collisions in terms of mechanicals and things like that. It just really is a great planning tool. There's also going to be a fair amount of site work that's going to be done at Willow Springs. So, you know, with the acreage that's there, looking at access, looking at potential drainage issues that we'd like to mitigate. They also use some pretty significant, interesting technology for the measurement using drones, right? So they can, you know, provide this, and it gives us an extra layer of accuracy and quality assurance for the site work. From a fee structure point of view, while this was not an absolute deciding factor for which CMAR contractor that we chose, we felt like their fee structure was really easy to understand and was very, very straightforward. It's really just two areas. The first is pre-construction. This is where you're doing all of the estimating. And this is also where they're working closely with tribal architects, right? So they're doing material selection. They're talking about, oh, this is our current costing, and things, and all of that gets factored into the model. And then the second is the actual construction phase. So there's a fee for actually doing the work, which is based upon it's a percentage of the guaranteed maximum price. There were no limits on the meetings. There were no limits on days, on time frames. They just said, look, we are here at your disposal whenever you need us. And the other thing that we liked was that 100% of the savings, as well as the contingency fee, and just I'll take a quick sidestep, the contingency fee is formed for the things that, you know, are kind of, oops, this came up, wasn't planned for, so we set that aside in the beginning. Typically that's somewhere around 2.5%. And so 100% of the savings and 100% of that contingency go back to the district. And often that is a negotiated split with the contractor, but with them, 100% goes back. From a legal perspective, we found it very, very interesting. They've been in business since 1994, that they've not entered to any single case where they've had litigation, judgments, claims, bankruptcy petitions, or arbitration. So to us, that spoke volumes in terms of their ability to plan well, to get along with everybody that they're working with, clients and subcontractors, and that they had a good approach to communication and risk mitigation. But coming down to sort of this final slide, what we really found is that these folks were very proactively aggressive in their approach, and it universally stood out for everyone on the selection committee. We were unanimously impressed that they had already developed a full schedule for phase one. So they actually engaged in work. They weren't just doing a proposal. So, Kevin, I don't know if you've got this right here. Yeah. So they came into the meeting with an actual schedule already pre-developed that showed us every step through January the 31st, which is the go-live time for phase one. We were impressed with that. They also looked at the plans and they said, okay, what items that have to go in here have long lead times that we need to be, you know, very, very cognizant of and jump on from a procurement point of view. So they've done their homework and we really appreciated that. Also, due to the short delivery time frame, we're talking about January the 31st, that's remained static, even though, you know, some things have been strung out. They knew that we were going into the holiday season, they were going to have a hard time getting contractors, and they were going to have a hard time scheduling them during the holiday season. So they proactively went out, actually solicited bids and responses, and have identified contractors who could hit the ground running. So very, very appreciated. And we believe that conservatively, this is going to save somewhere between 3 and 4 weeks for the district. So it was an important and differentiating step for sure. And finally, I would say we just really had the sense that this was much more than just another project for Francine. And the reason being is that they're a Colorado headquartered company. Again, I mentioned both companies have a tremendous resume and background. But their DFW operations, they're wanting to scale, they're wanting to get into more municipal projects, which they have, you know, a great resume up in Colorado. So this is going to be a marquee account for them. This is going to be a marquee property that they're going to want to show others and leverage to enter that market. We felt like what that gives them is a driver to give us the very best result, the very best customer service and responsiveness, and further, we probably have some additional leverage with them as a contractor based on it. So with that, we'd just like to, you know, bring you full circle to what we talked about in the beginning. The committee is recommending Franson Pittman as the Seymour contractor, and we'd like to put that before you for approval today. Does anyone have any questions or comments that they'd like to make? Yes, sir.
Did they offer to pay a performance penalty if they missed the date?
That would be they didn't offer specifically, but that would be a contract negotiation term that we would look at.
It's kind of a trick question, because if they do 99%, then that doesn't cost them anything.
Right. Any other questions?
Any questions for me?
I'm sorry. Is Valerie, I have a couple of questions for you.
Yes.
But go ahead.
Can we bring them up?
Let me stop
here. Pardon?
We can hear you, Ms. Washington. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. You said that they had never exceeded a negotiated schedule, but is that because they've gone back with their clients and rework schedules, or they really just never had any issues when they've done a project? Because that seems hard to believe, unless they've just never done any projects, and so you can say you have a stellar record because you haven't done any projects.
Well, that schedule is negotiated with the owner, and that's done up front, and it's also something that's refined every week, what you call an OAC, or owner architect contractor meeting. So every week you are reviewing the prior week and looking forward 2 to 3 weeks. So when you're in agreement and when you're working with a team, you stay on schedule. Does that answer your question?
It does. Also, I have just a couple more. Mm-hmm. On the one screen, you said that there were options, like you could have sort of the lower cost option, medium, higher cost, but how does that all relate to quality? Because, I mean, I would appreciate having cost options, but I would want to make sure that all options are quality options. I haven't seen it differentiated like that. So I was just curious about that. And then my other question was just more process, and I like that they were proactive, but and then going out and securing contractors, but what if they don't get this contract? Would they just let those people go?
Okay, we'll go ahead and address your first question regarding quality. So first of all, the whole project is done as a team. So the selection committee and me as a project manager will be weighing in on the quality of the materials and choices that are provided. There certainly is a standard of what's been displayed to us in terms of facility tours. Probably the most relevant one would be Fort Worth ISD. It is a public sector building, and we looked at some of their selections, be it floor coverings, doors, glass, just it ran the entire gamut. And they were able to come in at a appropriate cost per square foot. But we will also be fully engaged with Tribe Architects, and they are also our advocates with the contractor in making sure that we have quality alternatives to choose from.
Can I add to that?
Yes, please.
We have a baseline standard within our specifications manual for all of the products that go into this project, so they will have to meet a base minimum, and we will review anything that is what could be said as value engineered. We will review anything before it's put into the final drawings and the final bid documents.
Thank you, Shannon.
Welcome.
Okay, and the second, your question regarding the contractors. What is typical with the contractor? Now, they haven't let a contract with these contractors, but they've said, look, we work with you closely. Can you put us on your schedule, and can you keep this placeholder until we know that we get the award, which is, you know, right around the corner here, pending approval. All right. Thank you for your questions. Yes, sir.
I'd like to ask a follow-up question to her first question, mm-hmm. because you said, you talked about the weekly meetings, mm-hmm. and said that there's a mutual understanding or agreement mm-hmm. about time frames. Did they talk about what happens in those instances where there's not a mutual understanding?
Well, we talked a great deal about scheduling, and we talked a great deal about conflict resolution during our interview process, actually. And I do want to reiterate, we asked the same questions of both respondents, and we did it within the same time frame. So all of that was done per state regulation. But we did spend a fair amount of time saying, hey, when things go off the rail, how do you all handle it? How do you handle it when there's a disagreement? And you know, without an actual disagreement in front of you, it's, you know, it's really just saying how you would approach it, and then it's all based upon communications, being on the same time, same team, and basically working the problem from the same side of the desk. So that's one of the drivers with CMAR. It's not like, you know, a design, bid, build, where your incentive is to cut, you know, the quality and the cost as much as possible. All of that is completely open book, which really reduces conflict in the process also.
And I'll add to that just a little bit, that a lot of our focus specifically on some of the costs and the scheduling had to do with the phase one. As we move into phase two, that's still being designed. It's not finished yet, and they realized that. Phase one seemed very clearly laid out. Additionally, Tribe has already put together a tentative schedule of how they see this going based on their experiences, and they're going to be along this ride with us the whole way. So as we get closer on that, those documents are available for them to all start looking at us discussing. I think we're going to see some fine-tuning of those dates most likely to move forward. But we do have a concept of that. It looks like that's not outside the realm. With phase one, that's very critical to us. Phase two, also very important. Not as ultimately critical because of the need and the functionality that this building represents for 911 purposes.
All right, well, if there are no further questions, I will go ahead and turn the floor back over to Alfred.
Thank you.
Move approval of the district's recommendation for general contractor.
Thank you, Mr. Brunson. Do you have a second from the board?
Second.
Second.
Second from Ms. Washington. All in favor?
Aye.
Item 3 passes unanimously.
Thank you very much.
Do we have anything for executive session?
We do.
Okay.
No, Michelle had anything for executive session.
Does anybody on the board need to exercise executive session with any questions, concerns? Okay.
No.
We'll pass. We'll move to public comment. Seeing that there is no public comment, we'll call this meeting adjourned at 10:37. Thank you all.
Thank you all very
Have
much.
Have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Thanks.